Our next speaker, believe it or not, there's part of the U.S. north of here, quite a bit of the U.S., in Minnesota. Stefan Bischoff has come down from Detroit Lakes, which is about 4 hours northwest of here.
All right. Thank you, Gary. I'm Stefan Bischoff, hydrologist with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and today I'm going to talk about Clay County Drainage Site, and that's a field-scale drainage research in the Minnesota Red River Valley. So first of all, just what I'm going to talk about today is the purpose. Why are we doing this research? And give you some details, site layout, location, what we're doing, and then going to discuss 5 years of data that we've collected so far at the site. So the purpose, why are we doing this research? There's been an increase of subsurface drainage tile being installed in the Red River Valley, and we're here to, we're at the site to gain understanding of those impacts of drainage on the water quality and quantity in the area, because there's questions of how this water is going to impact the surrounding water and the distribution of water in the area, just because there's a concern with flooding in the Red River Valley, and that's a portion of what this research is doing, and one of our focuses the quantity or the quality of the water that's leaving this site. And this information will be used to be provided to decision makers, regional leaders, to inform them in their discussions of drainage in the area. Okay, so what is the Clay County Drainage Site? This is an edge of field drainage site, so we are directly monitoring the water quantity and quality that's draining from the field. And this site is designed, and I'll discuss the design in a slide or two, but it's designed to test the effectiveness of agricultural management practices on reducing nutrient loss through drainage. And we are first going through a calibration phase, so we're gathering data, getting an understanding of this site, and in the future we'll move into the testing of agricultural management practices. Site location. Here's Minnesota. We are in Minneapolis, and the Clay County Drainage Site is located in the Buffalo River watershed that is west central Minnesota, and it's near the Moorhead-Fargo area, if you're familiar with that. So just a little reference of where the site is compared to where we are now. And the site layout, so this site is 155 acres, and it's divided into 7 plots, and each plot is monitored separately. There are 6 subsurface drainage plots, and there's 1 surface drainage plot. And the tile runs south to north and drains to the north edge of the field into a drainage ditch and along its way. The soils and topography are similar throughout the site. The soil is a silty clay loam, and it's very flat landscape. It's a gravity-fed system. The tile is placed at 55-foot spacing. And this is a typical managed field in the river valley. It's typically managed for a corn sugar beet rotation. But this past year, the cooperative moved out of corn and planted edible beans. So in the following next year will be sugar beets in the rotation. And so now that's kind of the site, what it is, the site layout. Let's go a little deeper in some detail. I'm just going to discuss a little bit of the monitoring equipment. There's a lot of equipment there, but I'm only going to focus on a couple aspects. That's water quality and water quantity. And we have the image to your upper left there is a picture of the monitoring station at one of the monitoring stations at the site. And there's a control structure at the inlet or the outlet of each subsurface drainage tile for each plot. What that does is it gains us access to the drainage tile. And we have instruments in there to measure the stage values, the depth of water, and through calculations we're able to compute the volume of drainage. So there that's how we get our volume. And then we have automated samplers that grab a sample during each drainage event. And they take a sample every 1,000 cubic feet. And what this does, they puts it in a bottle, and we build a composite sample for that drainage event. And this is the subsurface drainage. And let's move into the surface drainage. It's laid out in a similar manner. We're there to get the water quality and water quantity. And this is just the one plot, and up on your upper left, a drainage event is occurring. Artificial drainage way is actually carved into the plot, which directs the water through the flume. And in the flume, we have a ultrasonic transducer, which measures the level of water, and through calculations, we're able to compute the volume of water that's draining from the field. And also at this site, we have an automated sampler that is set up to grab water samples during each drainage event, and this is set to 100 cubic feet per sample, because your surface events are a lot shorter and flashier, so we want to grab that composite and compare that to the drainage. So this is the setup, this is what the site is, and these next few slides I'm going to dive into some data, so I'm just preparing you for that right now. There's about three slides, and I'm going to walk you through each one of them. So here's the site, and now here's data for the past 5 years of monitoring, and this is comparing your drainage and your rainfall for those 5 years. I do have 2010 in there, and so your rainfall is your water droplets bar coming from the top, and your subsurface drainage is your blue bars coming from the bottom. And so 2010 is here just as an observation, and that's prior to drainage monitoring, but I just want that in there to show you that the years will play into the next one. One thing to highlight is that, 2011, we had 3.15 inches of drainage, but we had 25 inches of precip the year before, and the 30-year normal for this area is 20 inches. And so we move into 2012, absolutely no drainage, dry year, and we're 10 inches below our 30-year normal. We see that next year, only 1.24 inches of drainage, but we had 2 inches above our 30-year normal in 2013. It took that bit to kind of equilibrate or kind of bounce back from that drought year. And we're starting to get a little bit more normal in the amount of precipitation, and we see the drainage in a way being more consistent, because in 2011, 17% of subsurface drainage was from the precip, and in 13, 14, and 15, you get subsurface drainage was 5 to 8% of the precipitation. And this precipitation is just monitored from, it's just the growing season, your April through October, that's the rainfall that we're highlighting in this slide. Now let's dive into some nutrient loss. So here we're looking at the drainage and nutrient loss. And on the left part of the graph here, it's the nutrients, it's flow-weighted mean concentration, and we're taking those nutrient values and incorporating them in the drainage, so we're putting those two values together to get a flow-weighted mean concentration. And so your nutrients are at the bottom, and your drainage is coming from the top. And there's also a break in this graph here, just so I could put the total phosphorus and nitrates on there. And you see that, just going to point this out, that total phosphorus is pretty stable throughout the years. It doesn't change a whole lot. Whereas you see the nitrates, those change quite a bit through the year. And so in 2012, dry year, no drainage, no nutrient loss. Kind of 2013, we see a jump. I mean, it's 23 milligrams per liter, and that's been found in other research as well. There's no water passing through the system, so your nutrients or the nitrates are just held up there, and we get enough water the next year, and water starts, or the nitrate, there's nitrate loss through the subsurface drainage. But you see that in 2011, there's about 3 inches of drainage. That's the highest year of drainage, but you have lower nitrate loss. Then that could be the previous year before we had a lot of water passing through the system, playing on to 2011. And it's been known to take about three years to for the site to equilibrate after a year of no flow to kind of get back to normal nutrient loss. Now that was the subsurface drainage. Now let's take a look at annual surface drainage and nitrate loss. So the first, let's look at the top box there with just the drainage. So and then one thing I really want to highlight is the timing of drainage. 2014, we saw drainage in March and April and June, whereas in 2015, we just saw drainage in June and July. And there was no drainage in 2015 during the frozen soil period. And then so the big thing is the timing. The volume of water is pretty similar. It's just slightly less 2014, but the volume of drainage is pretty similar. We look at the nutrient loss just on the bottom portion of this slide, and we see it on all three categories that there's the loss is greater in 2014. And looking back at the data, March and April, we saw higher concentration loss during that March-April period. And just looking at that timing, how that influenced the nutrient loss. And there again, March-April, there's bare soils and you don't have crop established uptake of utilizing those nutrients. I just want to highlight some observations we have seen so far, just that higher nitrate loss in 2013 following that year of no drainage, and that's been found in other research as well, and we're kind of moving back to normal nutrient loss. 2011, there's a larger drainage volume and a lower drainage loss, or lower nitrate loss. And looking back at that previous year, the water above or 5 inches above that 30-year normal. And so that's the years are playing onto each other. They're influencing the next year and the next year, the subsurface drainage and the nutrient loss. And big thing is for the surface drainage is that timing of drainage and its impact on the water quality of the nutrient loss from surface drainage. Just going to tie this up a little bit. Field scale site, I mean, it's going to be a long-term site. That's what we're doing right now is just gaining understanding of this site, calibration years, and then we're going to see how these plots respond to one another and establish treatment design off of those, off their response, and then we're going to test our agronomical practices. And I want to just do a special thanks to our landowner, Brad Paik. I mean, we couldn't do it without him. He's not here today, but wanted to throw the acknowledgement out. And thank you for your time. Do you have any questions? I'd be happy to take you.
Several engineers in the room, so we're going to ask
them. Mark. I'm not an engineer. I have two quick questions. One, it's a really nice setup with really nice big plots and replications. So the first question is how much variability was there among the plots? And then second, you talk about loss of nitrate, but you see concentrations. The data to calculate kilograms per hectare, pounds per acre, loss.
Right.
And that, so how did those vary too across the years?
So first of all, how is there variability within the plots? We really found variability within that west section versus that east section, but then through regression, we're going to actually account for some of that variability when we move into our treatment phase, when we do our plot comparisons.
I'm not sure I follow that. But
just so that they'll provide some different values, but do they respond in a similar manner? And then we'll use those for later on treatment. And then how did the Floyd make
the math loss?
The math loss, yes. Off the top of my head, but it was similar. I don't have the values off the top of my head right now, but there was variability with the yield loss, the pounds per acre.
But it seemed your pounds per acre loss would be much lower than further down in the Midwest because you don't have that much flow.
Right. That is lower in this system. Correct. Yep.
Good. Another question?
This is a control damage, the value you show, right?
Yes.
Now, if you can show what your kind of that, I know you're a space 55 feet.
So the tile's at 4 foot, but it's managed at a 3 foot level with the stop logs in the control structures.
Original what tile that, but you raise the riser up to what? Your original tile, free drainage at what tile that?
4 feet.
4 feet?
Yep.
So you raise it 1 foot?
Correct.
Okay, so you have.
Yep.
Time for one more question.
The total nitrate losses for the Edico beans versus the corn 2015, 2014, the total nitrate loss, how do they compare?
The nitrate loss from the corn to edible beans?
How big?
There's more nitrate loss with the corn. You have higher inputs in your growing corn as versus to edible beans, so that does play a factor.
Just per acre, what was the total in the year?
The total?
Uh-huh.
As in yield or?
In kilogram per hectare or pound per acre?
I don't have that on the slide. I don't have the top of my head, but I do have data with me. If we want to talk about it
I
later.
I'm curious about how much one loves with the beans, so with the edible beans versus the corn.
Good.
Okay.
Good thing to check at break
yeah.
for the next speaker. Thank you, Stefan.